Okay. I'm going to talk about, about drinking coffee when you travel. We'll try to brand system, maybe some other things, depending on time. Two hot thumbs before I really start. And one is that I'm not a coffee drinker. So that might make you biased as to what I think. Because I'm not a coffee drinker. Other people, by them, it's much more important. You know, that's one thing. Second thing is that I'll say what I have to say. But I'm hoping that the other one can say things back also. You know, I don't want to talk. Mama, she was on the last breaths until the kindness ends, you know. So people, if you have something to say, please feel free to talk up. Okay, so before we get into I'm going to talk the Erev in three parts. My first part is something that's not what you usually think about when you think about drinking coffee on the road. And that is, the Gemara says, Mishnah says, there's an iser to drink sheker with a goy. There's an iser to drink certain beverages with a goy. It's a machlokes. We're showing them exactly which beverages are included in that thing. To the point that some Rishonim hold it's even things that are not even alcoholic. Even the example there is it's a certain honey beverages that are maybe even included also. You're not allowed to drink them in the goy's location. You can't drink it with them. And the reason is because of chasmas, because when you drink together with them, it brings a certain warmth and closeness. Okay, think of it, when you think of sheker, you think of drinking in a bar. So people don't drink in a bar just because they're thirsty, they drink in a bar because that's where they hang out with people and they get together with each other. So it leads to chasmas. It's one of the things that you're not allowed to do because of chasmas, among other isurim. And some Rishonim hold that it goes not just for sheker, it goes for many other things, including things that are non-alcoholic. Okay, in that din, the Mechaber Paskin, it goes for all kinds of beverages, It's a question, if non-alcoholic also, but all kinds of beverages. But the Rambam is Mekel, that's probably where most people not familiar with this did. Rambam is Mekel, it says it only goes to a very, very specific kind, Sheker Tamarim, okay, something, date beer, okay, something unusual that we wouldn't have. So for us, that's why most people never even heard of such a din. Because if you're Ashkenazi, you never even heard of such a din, because it's not as relevant to such a very unusual case that most of us don't, it never happens. Whoever drinks date beer, you know what I mean? Going to a bar and drink date beer. Going to a guy's house and drink date beer. Okay? So it's true that din doesn't apply so much the Ikka din. But, the Chayadim says, the Chochmah Sodom says, he says, you know, Chazal made this Isser because they thought that hanging out with the guy and spending too much time drinking with them would lead to problems, lead to chasnas. You get too friendly with the wrong kind of people. So the Chacham says, you know, in our days, he says, this is not technically the Isser. The Isser is, it doesn't apply to us. But in our days, when they have coffee shops and hot chocolate shops, those are, I guess, the rage then, people drink hot chocolate and coffee shops, he says, and we've seen all kinds of tzaras that came about because people went to these places and drank there. So it's not the technicality of what Chazal answered. Chazal specifically answered a very specific thing, and we paskin only for Sheikha tomorrow, a very unusual thing. He says, but, you know, we could be smart enough to realize that we should avoid those kind of things also. Okay, so it's not the Ikra din. He's just saying we should be just as smart as Chazal were to avoid these things. And nowadays, our Starbucks is our example of that. Okay, our Starbucks is his coffee shop or his hot cocoa shop, where the people sit around and they hang out with each other. They schmooze and they sit down. They don't just get a coffee and walk out the door. They sit around and they talk with each other. And a person has to be careful in those kind of settings to be avoiding those concerns that would lead to chasms. Okay, so now let's talk about the thing that you probably thought I was going to talk about. Okay, which was about the shadows of whether it's kosher or trach. So the coffee itself, if you take just coffee beans and water, it's kosher. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I mean, you know, they probably know there were shilohs in Achorin, but maybe Shvipish Lakum. Okay, we don't worry about those kind of things. And we say, nah, it's fine. The coffee is kosher. So what's the problem? The problem is that we'll use Starbucks as our example. We'll see other places with similar ideas. They realize that people don't just want to drink coffee, and they start serving all kinds of other things also. Okay, and when they started serving many other things, that eventually branched into things that were a little bit sensitive. We didn't know if they were kosher, like some lemonades and smoothies and frappuccinos. These other things that have ingredients in them that are fancier or more sophisticated than just coffee. And because they have those ingredients in them, so you can't drink those things themselves unless they had a hashgacha on them. Okay, so you have to know every single one, does it have hashgacha, does it not have hashgacha? The ingredients, some of them have ingredients that are a little questionable, whether they're kosher or they're not kosher. But what got more serious is that they then started serving sandwiches that had meat or cheese or other things that were absolutely treif. Without a question, they were treif. Okay, now that's in Starbucks, but a similar thing is if you walk into a 7-Eleven, they also don't serve just coffee and chmeis and slurpees. They also serve, they have hot dogs cooking there. They also have hot food there. Okay, so all of a sudden we have something in front of us that's not just maybe it's kosher, maybe it's not kosher. But we know it absolutely is treif. You know, a corned beef sandwich is fish in the store like this, of course it's treif. Okay, so the question is, does that affect us? Does the fact that there's, this treif thing there, the thing that's absolutely treif, does that mean that somehow that my coffee, because that became non-kosher, does that thing transfer somehow to my coffee? Okay, and in each store that child is bigger or smaller depending on what you're looking at. What I mean is, some of the Starbucks stores don't serve those kind of sandwiches. Some places you go to a rest stop, and all they're serving is coffee. They're not serving any treif sandwiches. Some of them, it's like these bigger Starbucks is that they're serving big treif, very seriously treif sandwiches. Okay, so we have to think, there's a range of places. So, as we think this through, I'm going to take certain halachas. Okay, you don't have to agree to them, and many people don't agree to them. You don't have to agree to them, but they're going to be halachas to help us understand this. And the first is like this. I'm going to assume that things that are made on cholestam kalim, even if I personally eat chol v'sol, I'm not going to be mocking on things that are made on cholestam kalim. I would treat them as milchugs, of course, because they're milchugs, but I'm not going to worry about the kalim that those things are made on. Okay, I'll treat it as if, not to worry about those kalim. Okay, that would potentially allow me certain coolers, because a lot of the things that we're talking about are milchugs, right? A lot of the things that are going to be here are going to be milk-related. Many people don't agree to that, but that's what work with that kind of a hanukkah. Okay, even if you won't agree with me on these problems that I've given you, you'll hopefully agree to my conclusions at the end.
It's milchugs that we can't eat with plastics, or can't eat after plastics.
We're gonna get to that, but I'm saying, but if you think that cholestam is isser, then it's not a matter of is it milchugs or plastics, then it's a matter of it's treif. Okay, then it says treif as the sandwich was, it says it's cheese as the cheese was, the cheese is green sakam. But if you think that cholestam, I'm only do it as a chumrah, but I would treat it be'etim, I treat it as a heter, then it's different. It's milchus, of course, but it's not as big. Okay, and the second thing is, this is a little more of a complicated thing, is that something that, if the only thing that's in there that I don't know about its hashkacha is the flavor, so then I won't eat it without hashkacha, but I won't worry about the kalim of it. What I mean is that if the same pot is used for regular coffee and is used for flavored coffee, and the coffee is kosher, I just don't know if the flavor is kosher. So I won't drink the one with the flavor unless it had hashgacha. But that won't affect the kalim, okay?
Well, why would that not affect the kalim?
I'm not going to really explain. I'll say it to you quickly if you want to. You have to believe me, but I'll tell you quickly. I'll say it quickly, and if you understand or if not, it's okay. We'll talk about it afterwards. Maybe not after I have a one thing to drink, but after, later, a different time we'll talk about it. And that is a flavor that's in something is always at small percentages that are the etzim would be bottle b'shishim. Why they're not bottle b'shishim? Because they're avidah l'taima. Okay, well, the din is of something that's avidah l'taima is only not bottle if it's inherently treif. Something that's only treif because it has beliefs of treif doesn't make a difference in avidah l'taima, called a melech habulu midam. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, now, the chemistry of treif, things that are used in flavors is that the things that are treif about flavors almost in every case, not every case, but in almost every case, is things that are inherently kosher, but are made on treif kalim. It has to do with carbon chains. They end to be in the vegetable ones, the ones that taste good, as opposed to the animal ones that don't taste good. They don't have that flavor. So the treif that's in there is only a mel habulu midam, so I wouldn't want to eat it. And there's potential for yisurin drabanan and other things like that also, but the really serious yisurin are only going to be because of mel habulu midam. Okay, so it's not going to affect the kalim from the next thing. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about now some din. What should I worry about? We're trying to figure out, does the treif sandwich that's there affect my coffee? Or does the hot dogs in the 7-Eleven affect my coffee? I'm going to talk to you about from a perspective of din. Okay, is it mutter or is it aser? But you should know. You should know that, as you all know, I work for the CRC. It's my ties on. I'm working for the CRC. And the Rashford said to us, when it was time, he said to us, he said, you should know, we can find the reason in to be matter a lot of things, as you're going to hear in a minute, why we should be matter things. He says, but you know, as a hashkafa, when people ask us if something is mutter aser, they don't want to hear from cheshbainus, okay? If it takes David 5 minutes to explain something, they don't want to hear that, okay? They want to hear things that are just glatt, and it's just the way it's straight, without any question to it. So, if people will ask us about whether something's mutter aser, we shouldn't tell them things are mutter when it takes a whole cheshbain to explain to them why it's mutter, okay? We should be telling them straightforward. If it's mutter, means it's going to be, has to be clear and simple why it's mutter. Okay, and while we were dealing with that here at the CRC, the OU was dealing with the same kind of questions about telling people, and Rebelsky told them the same thing. He said to them, don't tell people things that are mutter when it takes a whole, you know, a whole cheshbon for why it should be mutter, and you'll hear all kinds of details deep in the Hilchos Teruvos. Okay, he says, don't tell them those kind of things. So, if you want to come from that perspective, you want to see that I have something without a shayla at all, so go buy a bottle of Pepsi. Okay, you buy a bottle of Pepsi, it has a shkach on it, and you know you're safe and you're good. Maybe we can think of a shayla for that also. But you say, no shayla, I'll find something without any shayla at all and I'll be safe. But if you want to say, yeah, but I wonder what the din is, or you know, it's you know, 2:30 in the morning and I'm on the road and I need a coffee, you know, this is like not going to work. Don't tell me, don't be such a chacham, now I need my coffee, so then, you know, then maybe it's different. Okay, so what's the one of the rules about deciding about Tom? But with Tom, again, I'm not eating the sandwich, I'm eating the coffee, is that this, we differentiate between a klirishin and a klisheni and an irut klirishin. What does that mean? A klirishin is the pot that you, or the kli that the food was cooked in, the kli that was on the fire, that's a klirishin. In a klirishin, Tom transcends completely. A whole step down from that is a klisheni. If we take something out of that original pot, we put it into another pot, we pour coffee into a cup, okay, the coffee that's in the cup is a klisheni. L'chatchila, we're makbir on blias in there, but the evet, there's no blias in the klisheni. In a klisheni, no time transit in a klisheni. Okay, and then there's an in-between case. The in-between case is, what if it's irim klirishin, which is not that it's in the klirishin with a real time, it's pouring from the klirishin into a klisheni. So it's in between. It's in between a klirishin and a klisheni. So then we say time transfers kadei klipo. A very small amount transfers, but not so much. Okay, so in the klirishin we have complete tam transfer. In the klisheni, b'dyevet, there's no tam transfers. And iru is in between tam transfers. They klip a small amount, but not too much. There's one exception to that rule I just told you, and that is, I told you, I'm talking to you about pouring liquids. Okay, what happens if I have a solid food, a sandwich? We call it a davagush, a solid food like a sandwich. Then there's a machlokes in the achronim whether maybe even when that's out of a klirishin, it has the din of a klirishin. Okay, maybe even when I take the sandwich and I put onto a plate, it has the din of a klirishin even when it's out of a klirishin. Okay, so.
Sorry, you don't have this bread on both sides of the meat, right?
In this bread, the town will go through the bread.
See, if Mr. Starbucks puts a tray of sandwich on a plate in the Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
So the plate really only has cold bread on it, right? The flesh is in the middle of the two cold pieces of bread. Does that minimize the issue a little bit?
I don't know if that's accurate.
I never ate meat and stuff or something.
Right. My impression is that the whole sandwich gets heated up. And it's not just the cold bread gets heated up. But everything goes together. And the bread is cold also. It's hot also.
Really?
But you take, you're right. If we take the hot dog at, let's say, in the 7-Eleven, so the hot dog is only going to tap. I can put a bun. So then I'm safe. Then, what do you say? Excuse me?
Corn dog would be a good example.
A corn dog where the whole thing is heated up. Okay, I think then that would be a good example.
Corn dog would be good.
Okay. So we the davagush is not our most important thing. The obvious thing is that they make these sandwiches are hot sandwiches. Okay, or in our 7-Eleven where they have a hot dogs over there. So there, that's an acclamation. And there's a blee over there that there's for sure the things that are in the oven are for sure trafe as completely, can they call it, completely trafe. Okay, that's one thing that's a clearition. Okay, is there any other clearition in Starbucks? Okay, or in a coffee shop? Is there any place else that there's a clearition? Well, there's a clearition is the inside of the coffee pot, right? Someplace they're cooking up coffee, right? Someplace in there they're cooking up the coffee. Okay, and then some of them have other fancier kalim that are used for steaming up drinks. Okay, you take milk and you steam up the milk. Now you have this frothy, steamed up beverage. Okay, so that the thing that heats that up, it's a nozzle that shoots out steam. That's a cleavage also. It's like as if a piece of fire. That's also a cleavage. Okay, so it's another place where we could have time can transit completely. What?
Dishwasher.
A dishwasher. So, a dishwasher. Dishwasher and the sink, we'll do in a second. Dishwasher is not a cleavation. Okay, dishwasher is not a cleavation because, I shouldn't say that. The dishwasher has a part of it that's a cleavation. On the bottom of the dishwasher where the water gets heated up, that's a cleavation. Okay, but the rest of the dishwasher is not a cleavation. The water just spritzes from that cleavation onto the dishes. And I have something else to tell you. In stores, they don't wash dishes in a dishwasher. Okay, they wash dishes in a sink. Okay, in your house, they wash dishes in a dishwasher. In these stores, some of them do is, after they wash the dishes and they're completely clean, they put them in just to be sterilized in the machine. Okay, as they're not washing it there. They're putting a clean dish in there just to be sterilized to get rid of all the germs in it. Okay, but it's not being washed in there. Nafkamina is that the sterilization just takes a few minutes. Okay, it's not even possible to be cleavishing. So we have one cleavishing, which is when we heat up our sandwiches, that's a cleavishing. We have cleavishing when we cook up the coffee. We have a cleavishing when we steam it afterwards. In some places they'll steam up drinks also. Okay? Those are the places we have a cleavishing. Then we have some places where there's an irregular cleavishing, like in the sanitizing machine. Okay, we cook up water on the bottom of it, we spritz it onto things. We in a sink, in the sink that they wash it in. That's also there's an irreclusion, okay? A very small irreclusion. Think about it. There's only the water comes out of this out of the faucet, only hits on one spot. The dish that it hits, that's an irreclusion. Everything else.
Do you have problems with fish or other foods in there? If you leave for 24 hours?
You could theoretically, but no, that's not Lamaisa.
Why? They wash it every 24 hours.
They wash it all the time. Things are being washed because they got to come in and go out. You know that. I don't think things sit like that. You know that should sit to be covered.
According to our Malaysia, if you put any cold water, you wash the dishes, wouldn't be irrecreation. So I don't know if more people put a little cold water, you wouldn't have a problem with irrecreation.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that cheetah, but it could be such a thing. But I'm saying is that even when we wash our dishes in the sink, the water can only hit one thing. I mean, how much could it hit? You know, the one or two plates on the top. Okay, so
they can also pour things into the sink. They can pour things into the sink also.
Pour, like, what would they pour into the sink? Take the coffee pot.
They had a flavored coffee, which is not kosher, and they pour it into the sink. They would technically.
Isn't the ordinance to have three sinks? Yeah,
you're
washing the sink.
Yes.
Right? So your first sink gets boiling out water.
The first sink
stays there.
Okay, so what? So what? That's a cliche. Once the water comes out of the faucet, it's in a cliche. It's only the first thing that it hits that's irreclusion. After it hits something and it leaves from there, we're out of here. We're finished. It's all cliche now.
There's a kiluach there. The water's sitting in there. There's a bath of water there.
Yeah.
And you have a kiluach.
Most do not. No, yes, it's such a shita that as long as it keeps on pouring, then that's considered iru. Now, most don't think like that. They say if iru is what hits, what pours out. What hits, but that's what hits, that now that's iru. Everything after that, we're finished. We're in the klisheni now. And so there's a big bath of klisheni. So lachatchila, we shouldn't do that. If it was in my house, no, you can't do that. You can't put trace stuff into my sink. But the other, what's that, how's that going to affect me? Okay, so if we're gonna look around, we're going to see that I'm not to say that it's not possible that the kelim should become trade. It's possible. Things could become, if it's gone just right, if I have an ear just so, you know, if a piece of meat sits on my piece of my coffee machine, it sits there, poked with ear like that, we could potentially have a problem, okay? But it's hard to get to a point where we should be trained.
So you have the grease from the stuff that goes in the sink and the real grease comes out, goes onto the coffee bottle after it lifts it together, then
So it could happen. It could happen. Again, we have limited e-roots, but yeah, it could happen. I'm not saying it can't. It could happen, but we're talking about only a limit to how much could happen. Okay? There's only so much that could happen like that. Okay. So we figured out that it is possible. It is possible. It's not so likely, but it's possible. It's possible that some of the kalim, could end up being cut trafe. Maybe a klipa through iruis. Okay, it's harder to get something that should be really trafe, like a klivishin, but we could possibly end up with an iruis, which would be a kadek klipa. But now, let's stop for a second. Okay, so we decide we have something, we have kaolin that could possibly be traced, even a little bit they could be traced. Now, it's not enough that the kaolin are traced. Okay, we need to get, the trace has to get into my food. Okay, so how is the trace bleer that's in there going to now get over to my coffee? It's not enough that I have trace kaolin. I don't care if you have trace kaolin, you know, whoever wants to. The problem is, does it affect my coffee? So now let's think about what it takes to, now if we make something fancy, like I told you, you use a steaming to steam up your drink, then you put it into a cleavation. If there was something trace there, you just made your drink trace. So you can't do that. But I'm talking about just the plain coffee machine. What happens in a coffee machine? Okay, what goes on? What's happening inside the coffee machine? There's a big pot in which the water is boiling. The water is boiling. That's where we start with, water that's boiling. Okay, that doesn't get washed with everything else. That just sits there, and that doesn't get washed with everything else. The water comes from there, pours through the coffee to go into my cup, into the thing that holds the coffee. Okay, how did that happen?
I thought when you have a coffee machine, you like wants to have a zit of chai. What are you calling a coffee machine?
Yes. So in that, no, what you see in the shul, in what you're describing is a thing that has well, we can make cups of coffee right now. Okay, I'm talking that is they brew coffee. A carafe full of coffee at a time. Okay, so what's going on? I'll describe to you what happens in the thing, the machine. There's water in the machine, and the water pours, trickles through, it percolates through the coffee grinds, and goes into a holder that holds all the coffee, on the finished coffee that you're going to drink from. Okay, how did that happen?
Does it boil in that holder?
No.
So that's
cliché? Yeah, that container that's in is just a cliché. But what happens is like this. There's a metal frame that's part of the coffee machine, the metal frame. The frame holds on top of it a filter. The filter has on top of it coffee grinds. Okay? And then the water goes through that. The point is, the water slowly trickles through the coffee grinds in order to absorb all the taste out of the coffee. Okay? That's what it's trying to do. It's percolating through. It doesn't go quickly. It slowly trickles its way through that, and then there's a filter on the bottom, a paper on the bottom, that's keeping, letting the liquid through, but not the grinds, not the actual ground up coffee. And then when it drips out the bottom, there's the coffee that someone wants to drink. So what's trace? What did we say the thing that could be trace that's in here? Okay, this metal frame that holds up the filter. Okay, that's the part that comes out that could be washed with everything else that could become trace. Okay, so let's say it was trace. So how will Tom get from that frame into my coffee? The water that's pouring through has to pour through the grinds and through the filter. So even if water were to touch that frame, that's only cliché. The water already had its eerie hit onto the grinds, which then have to trickle through them to hit the frame. So that only would be a cliché anyhow. The truth is, Rega, the truth is that even if almost never would hit the frame, bakhlala would hit the frame. The frame is just meant to hold up the whole structure, the filter and the liquid. Almost nothing is going to hit the frame altogether. But even if something were to hit it, then all it's hitting is as a cliché. Let's say it was trafe. We said before, maybe it could possibly, could be that it could be trafe. But how that end up in my coffee, and my coffee only be as a cliché. Yes, what do you want to say?
The bottom thing is on a warmer?
The bottom thing is on a warmer?
That's
a good question. So he's saying if that carafe itself was trafe, you're saying, then it could be looked at as cliché, as a cliché. Not that the bleed that got out, like he said, the bleed that came out wouldn't be. Right, but if the thing itself was trafe, okay. It's hard to imagine that being trafe. Okay, those don't get clean in the same way that in a sink, just get rinse it out. Yeah, that's a easier rinse out. But I don't believe that would become trafe. I'm not even sure it has warm or not. I don't know. I guess it depends on the place. I don't know. That's where we stand if you're holding just the drink in the plain coffee. Again, when we get to fancier drinks that either have ingredient questions or other ones that use other parts that are they themselves are a cleavation, then we have to say maybe that thing is trafe and it brings bleeds into me. But when I'm drinking just the plain coffee, then it's harder to imagine, even if the thing was trafe, how that should affect the drink that I'm getting. Okay, questions before I move on to other related things.
What about when you put a glass coffee jar? Mm-hmm. Is that trafe? Because it's still glass.
Mm-hmm.
So then the glass, you can make because of the glass thing.
If you had a place where it was in a glaze, and you think maybe that glaze was washed someplace else.
Right.
Okay, so yes, if you really push it, then nothing was washed. So let's think what happened. Let's think about that. So what would happen now? So that let's say it was chafe. So it gives, and now I drip liquid into that.
It could take liquid.
Right. So either glaze or take liquid, it's not going to make how much is going to be, because if it could take liquid, one place where it could take liquid came out into a whole pot full of coffee, that's not going to be chafe. It's not going to make enough green. But if that would be on a warmer, but if someone said over here, if that would be on a warmer, then we potentially have questions. Okay, then that covers.
Usually it's on a warmer.
Is it warm? Okay.
If it's just a kettle, like you go to, that's not a 7-Eleven, you go to an airline, and they have just, they go around with a coffee, or just a small place in the kettle. The more precious of the kettle itself, which is on the thing getting draped up.
So you have to look at the situation. So when you see it on the airplane, when you look on the airplane, you say there's no way that we have to chafe over here. Okay, there are those who believe that they take those back into the commissary back when the plane lands, and they wash them not on the plane. They take them into their big kitchen over there where they wash it together with the first class meals. Okay, I don't know if that's really true. If that's really true, then it could have become chafe. Otherwise, on the plane, how where was the chafe that would happen?
Definitely, Eisen said that years ago. Eisen said that they used to take the first class meals and wash together.
Right. I don't know if that really is a Lemaitre concern. I don't know if they wash them at all. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, there's one
to be said
to use
the
water only. What? Health-wise, the one to be said
to use
the water.
Okay.
Stewards.
It's advice not to
have a water. You didn't mention anything about the soap.
I didn't. No, it's not out of the question. It's a little complicated. Okay. But what the soap is... As someone mentioned before, when you wash in a restaurant or in a coffee shop, they wash things in three compartment sink. So a three compartment sink means the first one they just, let's see if I remember correctly. The first one they just soak it. Okay, and the second one they rinse it, and the third one they sanitize it. Okay, the first one usually has soap in it. Okay, the second one does not, and the third one has a sanitizing solution to it. Okay. So there's two parts to the question. One is the thing that they're putting in problem? Is what they're putting in enough to make the pan be looked at? Okay. The ones we tasted were well they tasted. That doesn't mean everyone is. It's not necessarily that it is, but the ones that I tasted.
There was a small few years ago, the small fish been drank some of this detergent that he said it tasted like water. Was that true?
I don't remember in the end. I asked that we should taste it. I think I ended up being the one tasting. I don't remember. One of us tasted it. We did it together, yes. Whether what?
The question is also, do they follow their own rules?
Right, okay.
Many don't.
Okay, so that's true.
They don't.
Okay. And then there's another question. This is a Shaila L'Achronim. What happens if we something had a pegima in it in one sink, now we move to the next sink with no soap in it, is the pegima that's in there still trained? Do I still have to worry about the pegima that's in there? Or do I say it was already became public? Okay, that's a Shaila L'Achronim, but that affects it. Okay, let me talk about two other things quickly. And one is related to this, is drinking hotel coffee in a hotel room. Okay, you stay over in a hotel, and there's a coffee machine there. Okay, or there's a Keurig in the machine in the room, and you wonder if you could drink over there. So the way I see it is that like this. Usually those come with something that's there. They come with coffee or K-cups that are there for you to use. That's why they have them in the room. So the way I usually think of it is that if what you're looking at in front of you is all kosher, everything that's in the hashgacha, which it usually is, okay, because usually they put in very simple, straightforward stuff, just plain coffee or coffee and decaf, plain stuff. My feeling at that point is that you could use it. Why? Because we're used to, we have a mindset that, okay, I shouldn't say that. I may have to blame all the rest of you. When I travel, okay, I travel with food, okay, because I know when I get someplace, I'm not going to be able to eat, because, you know, we only eat kosher, I can't eat wherever I go, so I travel with food. So, in my mind, my suitcase has clothes and food. That's why I travel, okay? My impression is that Goyim don't travel with food, okay? Part of the whole chaviyah of traveling is I get to eat in all these places where I go to, okay? So, when they come to the room, and there's this coffee in the room, that's what they use. Okay? They didn't come along with their own K-cups in the suitcase to stick into the machine. That's my way of looking at it. Okay? Now maybe my kids would have. They didn't bring along their things with them, but I don't think they're going to travel like that. And therefore, you could disagree. That's okay. And my feeling that when they travel, whatever's in the room, so if what's in the room is kosher, you look at it, and usually it is, because, again, usually it's very simple stuff. They don't want to make things too complicated for people, so then you could use it. As far as washing, what we hear is that when they come around to check your room, they rinse it off in the bathroom, maybe at most, and take it back in. And it doesn't get washed like back with the rest of everything else.
Worst case scenario, let's say that you pour through a cup of water with that kosher, and you run through other ones to make an uncut
amount
of water.
Probably. The harder part would be to get it clean before you kosher it. The machinery, you have to get rid of the end before you kosher something. You know? But yeah, I guess you could do that. The rule of stam kelim in the binyamin doesn't work when you want to kosher something. Excuse me? I'm not talking about in the hotel, I'm talking in your hotel room. I'm not talking about
in your hotel room.
Yeah. Right. Do you see? But I don't think anybody washes them. They just sit there. Okay, maybe. Okay, now the other thing is, if it's plain, yeah, that's okay. Okay, so now one last thing is drinking coffee if you work in an office. Okay, so if you learn in the kernel, so you know everything is kosher here, so you're good. But if you work in some kind of an office and they have a coffee machine, so people ask the same question. They're not for traveling people, just time. You go to office all the time. So if they make coffee, like we've been talking about, just like a Mr. Coffee, or just a simple pot of coffee, and assuming everything is as kosher, then I would think that was okay. They can't go so wrong. But a lot of offices have fancier things. Either they have one thing they'll have is a dispensing machine. Okay? And out of this machine, you can get all kinds of drinks. Okay, you can get coffee and hot cocoa and all kinds of mixes of different kinds of things out of the same machine. Then you have to really poke around to know, are all the ingredients that are in there kosher? Because everything that's in there, let's say the hot chocolate milk, is that really kosher? And if it's not, then you have to really understand how the machine works. Does everything come out of the same hose at the bottom? Often it does, or not. You have to know the workings of the machine to know whether you could drink from that. Okay. If they have a Keurig, which is very common in offices, they have a Keurig, so there, I think it's a little different than when I told you about the hotels. Even though I think that the guys don't travel with their food in their suitcases, but I think that if someone works in office all the time, they may have their own stash of drinks, of their own K-cups, to the kind that they dafka that they like. So there, I wouldn't be as excited to use it and say, well, all the things that are out here are kosher today, then I can therefore use it, but some of them always stay kosher. I'm not that good. Right, so they could put, even if I walk and I see every day, I've been here for 2 months, and every day, they keep always putting out the same 10 things, and they're always kosher, but that doesn't mean that the person sitting next to me doesn't have their own, let's say, a soup or a hot cocoa that they like. They for them, sitting in office all the time, would bring something like that.
Well, the soup that they're making through that would make a trade? They're using hot water.
They're not using hot water. What they do is they have a K-cup, but instead of coffee inside the K-cup, there's a soup mix.
No, I mean something like that they're getting hot water from that machine.
So they get hot water from the machine. Okay, that's a little complicated. So there's a question of Zaya then. If they put the cup underneath it, if the Zaya rises up, that's treated like Ewery. So it's not like a field to use it. You know what I mean? The Zaya that comes out of there, if it hits a hot surface, it's like an evacuation, and it makes a big loop, so it better not come.
Is that they have two kitchens, of course, and not kosher? Can we send it to the land belong to
them? I don't understand that. If you have kosher and not kosher, but...
Guys go in there, but they don't, so
the they don't until there's too many people waiting in line by the chef kitchen, then they go to the kosher machine, you know? So
it's a coffee machine that they can use in both.
Okay. I guess it depends on the situation. I'm not thrilled, you know? But when I worked at the OU, they had a microwave, and it was kosher, because, hey, it's OU, I mean, we everybody eats kosher here. Well, almost everybody ate kosher. Some of the people were in Shem Shabbos, and the cleaning station was in Shem Shabbos. So there were people who didn't use it. They said, you know, everybody here, most of the people here keep kosher, but that doesn't, you know, it was a kosher price, you know. Okay.
How's coffee get from the cafe after it pours into your cup? There's no clearing involved.
They just pour it into your cup. I should say, I assume you're taking a disposable cup. They just pour it into your cup.
I
take it out of... Mm-hmm. So that... I don't think that gets washed very seriously after someone rinses that out.
The only way to have a microwave or a toaster in a place with gun, or not shower showers, is to have a lock on it.
you could have a lock on it. I mean, that the only if the yidin be, have
you
access
have a
to it.
Kitchen that has a kosher microwave and a non-kosher microwave, but you're saying you can't be silent on that. So you have to put a lock on it, basically.
What can I say? Cover your food, you know? Use the tape and cover your food. Yeah. Okay. Okay.